friends at Smile, this is Most Clicked, a podcast about digital marketing in the higher education sector. I'm your host, Nathan Monk, co-founder at Smile, and I'm joined by my buddies, as always, Kyle from Education Marketer and Matt Lees, who is also the other co-founder from Smile. So this week, we are talking about the rather depressing subject of the cost of living crisis. If you've been living under a rock, this has been going on in the news for a couple of months now. But Kyle, how is the cost of living crisis affecting potential students?
Oh, it's not good, Knife. It's not good. There's quite a few stories out at the moment about how the maintenance loan doesn't actually keep pace with the rising cost of living. I don't think that's a big news story to everyone. However, there's some really interesting stats coming out of some education organizations. One of them is the student room and how student behavior is changing as a result of this crisis. And it's a bit of a buried one, really. I found it in one of their clearing reports, but on results day, they had a huge surge of traffic to their degree apprenticeships and alternative routes to universities forum, a 25% increase year on year. So not just a spike on the day of clearing and results day necessarily, but actually year on year. So and one of the reasons behind this, it's not just people looking for those more employable focus routes through education. It was because of cost of living. Students actually looking at a traditional university degree and thinking, actually, I don't think I can afford this based on the support that's available to me. A lot more interest around some of those subsidized and for degree apprenticeships in particular, paid for routes to get in an education. And this is one of the first times I've heard of that cost of living consideration with students move right to the top of the funnel. Normally universities handle it when a student's at an open day, so they've already made a conscious decision to go to university. But now we see it moving right up to the top of the funnel there. And I think that is, in addition to all the news stories flying around about students trying to save money on their energy bills and things like that, I think this is a bit of a red flag for us, really, and something we shouldn't be overlooking.
Interesting one this is, I think. Kyle, do you think that it maybe opens the divide further and perhaps puts prospects who were on the fence about university in the first place, puts them off entirely because they're looking at it going, I just can't afford it. And then they don't even look into it as an option because they think it's going to be out of reach for them.
But potentially, it might be a little bit early to tell. And we are kind of riding a wave of higher recruitment. We can't sustain this current wave, though. I don't know, but I think the insight I gleaned from it was that this is now a factor that weighs quite heavy, and students will be seeing their parents and guardians like having the consequence of this as well. So it's not an issue that they aren't aware of, and it will be entered into their decision making process. I mean, in terms of how universities deal with this, one way that kind of spun to my mind is that we're no stranger to running campaigns at the top of the funnel. It's nothing new. But if you're in an area of the UK where your accommodation is cheaper, people can basically have a better quality of life for less money, then you've got a bit of a home turf advantage here. So if you're a university in Wales or the north of England, then you can be talking about that. Unlike universities in London where it's not going to be good, is it? So this London has that pull, but at the same time, is it worth it? These are the questions that students are now considering.
So do you think we'll see universities in the north and in Wales, those couple of examples that you gave there, grow in popularity as a result of this? Because we recently did a project where we were speaking to prospects who had recently been through the application process, and there's one girl in particular who stood out, and she had I think she had four London universities as her first four choices, and she ended up going to Manchester, and a large proportion of that was because of the cost of living.
That's quite funny to hear Manchester spoken about as an affordable place to live. It's that bad. I mean, that's one example, isn't it? And I think, you know, students, that's not a lone example. I'm sure many students are considering those choices. I mean, do we see universities outside of London become more popular as a result? Possibly. I think it's a big enough factor and cutting across enough students to actually see a change in destinations, perhaps. Again, it's kind of hard to. I mean, we're kind of really early in the cycle, aren't we, to see where decisions are being made. But I would be surprised if cities that have a reputation for a better standard of living at a lower cost don't see at least some benefit from this, even if the overall sort of picture for affording education is that much harder.
And have you seen good examples of universities kind of combating this and putting measures in place?
Yeah, I've seen a couple starting to dabble at the top end of the funnel with it. Gloucestershire was one I came across recently. I think they've ran like a series of Instagram reels highlighting some of the elements of cost of living, what it takes to be a student in that area of the UK. And there's a few others as well starting to creep through with the top of the funnel messaging, talking about the value of the university experience. And, you know, again, that isn't new, but, you know, actually talking about the cost of accommodation much earlier than universities would have say a year ago. So it is starting to come through, but I still think there's a massive opportunity for it in this year's recruitment cycle. And if you're producing like high quality, compelling content on this topic and serving it to those leads and those people interested in your university, I think you're going to stand out amongst your competitor set for sure.
It's a great takeaway, that is, Kyle. I guess my intrepidation is a really difficult subject to want to try and align yourself to.
Yeah, like, for sure.
There's probably a raft of branding concerns. You know, nobody's going to want to be known as the cheap university.
Yeah.
It's not. But, you know, I mean, I saw the thing that Gloucestershire had done. I liked it. I think they trod that line really carefully. But it I guess my point here is, it's a very thin line to walk between being the cheap university versus, you know, it's not cheap, is it? It's got to be about value, I suppose. But you also, there are stories of universities that are like very competitive. And I've heard the phrase like tanks on lawns and stuff, but I don't think many universities want to openly kind of slag off other universities and be like, they're really expensive, we're really cheap. So it's a very tricky subject.
Yeah, I second that, really. I mean, because we live in the UK, the undergraduate fee is pretty much the same everywhere you go. So the cost of the education isn't necessarily more or less. So maybe there's a little bit more scope and flexibility because you're talking about the city that you're in. You're not necessarily your university is cheap. You just happen to be in a part of the UK where you can benefit from a more affordable cost of living. But I agree with you. It's, you know, if you're typical sort of university student, you're looking forward to the next chapter in your life, you don't really want to be dealing with these kind of really, really adult questions.
There's a lot of vendors out there as well that run these kind of like student pulse type surveys. I know we've talked about a few on the podcast previously. I'm intrigued, curious to know whether they're adding cost of living questions into those pulse database reports. It'd be super interesting to see what the students are saying. I know we see it, but always nice to see it from a data perspective.
Indeed.
Listen, there's been a really interesting one, not our kind of usual topic, I guess, but thanks as always, Kyle and Matt. Thank you to all of our lovely, lovely subscribers. And if you have enjoyed today's content, please do consider dropping us a like below. All right. Well, until next time, see you soon.